Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor.
Harris, please set the Leroy to the police department.
Night Editor, starring Hal Burdick in another of his famous newsroom yarns. Tonight, a story that brings back those beloved characters, Slats and Tim.
Tim straightened, his eyes widening as he looked at Slats. Those boxes of dynamite were left here within the past 24 hours, Slats. The Japs have been infiltrating by our outpost, sneaking this stuff down here to blow up that ammunition dump on the beach, and the whole garrison with it. And you and I, Slats, we're going to do something about it right now.
Tonight's story is titled Important Trifle, which reminds me of the way the various choice Latin American coffees in Edwards Coffee are blended together, actually by flavor instead of by weight. Offhand now, you might think that a trifle, but it's this special flavor blending that assures Edwards' uniform goodness. Edwards Coffee, made according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' personal formula, brings you an extra flavor lift. Fresh ground to guarantee freshness, Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Try Edwards Coffee. You get your money refunded. Well, it's the mid-evening hour in the newsroom. The mail edition has been put to bed, and Bobby has been out of the office for a few minutes. When he returns, he heads for Hal's cubicle over in the corner. Now, as he enters and closes the door behind him.
Hey, what goes on here?
Brought you a little present, Hal. There you are.
What's this? A cup of coffee?
A cup of Edwards coffee, boss. Brought it up from the lunch counter.
Hell, now. I take that right kindly of you, Robert.
I figured you were too busy anyway to get out for coffee tonight.
Yeah, being away this afternoon sort of put me behind the eight ball in my work. Oh, boy. Now, that's just what I needed, Bobby. Sit down.
Well, if you're busy, I won't bother
you. No. Sit down. I need to relax a minute. Yeah. Besides, I've got a story for you.
Well, in that case...
You know where I was this afternoon, Bobby? Out at the Navy Hospital, calling on a friend of mine who picked up a touch of some fever out in the South Pacific and is home for a rest. Sergeant Timothy O'Connor.
Huh? Not the Sergeant Timothy O'Connor, United States Marines. Oh, no.
None other, Bobby. And a master sergeant.
Oh, boy. And if I know anything about it, there's a Slats and Tim yarn in this. How about old Slats Malarkey? Is he still a fireman first class?
Oh, no. Slats is a chief petty officer now. But even the years and promotions haven't changed them from the days when they were the most famous team of pals in the old regular Navy.
Come clean, Hal. The story. Let's have it.
Well, you know, I have a hunch their unexpected meeting when their separate ships put into the little shore base out in the Philippines was one to be remembered, Bobby. It was reported that the Admiral, hearing about it, sighed and remarked that with Slats Malarkey and Tim O'Connor on the prowl, anything might happen. And probably would. And younger Navy men, hearing tales of their past adventures, were on the alert for interesting and amazing developments. Their first few meetings were uneventful. Then came that certain day ashore and Tim's suggestion of an escape from boredom. Why don't we take a hike back into the hills, Slats?
Huh? What for?
Oh, just something to do. I'm tired hanging around this town.
What's back there but a hard climb?
Well, we might rustle some sandwiches and stuff and have ourselves a little picnic.
Picnic? Sergeant O'Connor, do you feel all right? Yeah, besides, there's Japs back in the hills. The Army guys keep routing them out all the time.
We're not going back that far. Just up a ways where it's peaceful and quiet. Get away from the mob. Slat's head wagged back and forth in a gesture of confused amazement.
Well, all right. If you're bound to do it, I'll steam along with you just to keep you out of trouble, which you're capable of getting into even in a wilderness.
Well, by the time the late afternoon shadows were beginning to push down out of the jungle, even Slats had to admit that it had been a pleasant outing, high on a hill with a broad floor of the sea far below them. And when it came time to start back to the beach, he cheerfully accepted Tim's suggestion that they take a more roundabout trail for a change of scenery. Tim was in the lead as they made their way along the narrow path that followed the steep contour of the hillside. Suddenly he came to a halt, looking off to one side of the trail. From behind him came Slat's voice.
What's the matter?
I just noticed that cave back up there in the brush.
What's so interesting about a hole in the ground?
Oh, I was just thinking what a tough time the boys have had all over the South Pacific digging the Japs out of holes like that. Air bombs, shell fire, nothing seems to touch them except... His voice broke off sharply and he moved a step off the path. Hey, now what? Hey, there's something inside that cave, Slats. Yeah, the sun hits it just right to show it up. Come on, let's have a look. Panting from their scramble up the hillside, they pulled back the brush and stood looking down at two wooden boxes covered with Japanese characters. With a rock, Tim loosened the cover of one. Hey, it's dynamite and fuses. Yeah, and look there, Tim. A magneto for firing it. Say, it must have been left here when the army guys chased them further back into the hills. Tim straightened, his eyes widening as he looked at Slats. Left here, nothing. That stuff's been put here within the last 24 hours, and I got a hunch what it means. They sneak this stuff down here to hide it. Then some nice dark night, they ease it down the hill with ropes, maybe alongside that ammunition dump on the beach. And, Bluey, the whole garrison gets blown sky high. Hey, do you think so, Tim? Yeah, I'm a cinch to be right. Well, let's get down there and tell the army guys about it so they can come up here and get the stuff before dark. Right. Come on the double, Slats. The sooner... Again, his voice cracked to a sharp silence. Slats had heard it, too. A faint rustling in the bushes back of the cave. Screened by a clump of brush, they watched as a Jap soldier slithered down the slope. Slats put his lips close to Tim's ear. Hey, they're beginning to show up already. This must be the night. But how do you figure there's only one of them? Oh, that's the idea, Slats. They sneak in one at a time. Well, come on, let's get going out of here before the whole outfit shows up. No dice, sailor. We're sticking right here and rounding up the whole gang. Are you crazy, Tim? We can't take on the whole Jap army. We got to. By the time we could get down to the beach and bring a patrol back here, it might be too late. Oh, but Tim, listen, be reasonable. Watch this, Slatsy boy. One hand closed on a chunk of wood beside him. Cautiously, he eased himself around the clump of brush. Then Tim O'Connor's big frame was flying through the air, and the club was descending on the back of the Jap soldier's head. Slats was beside him, his voice exultant. Oh, nice work, Timmy. You knocked him cold. Yeah, give me a hand with him quick, Slats. We got to put him in the cave and get set for the next one when he shows up. One by one, we're knocking off these little brown boys as they arrive. When we got all of them, we figure out a way to give the alarm and get some help from one of the outposts. For the next hour and more, Slats Malarkey and Tim O'Connor were the two busiest men in the Pacific Theater of Operations. One by one, the Jap soldiers arrived at their rendezvous. One by one, the club took its toll, while the pile of small arms grew on the ground beside them. When at last they had pigeonholed one who seemed to be a ranking officer, Tim issued his next orders. Now, I figure that should be all of them, Slats. Phew! And a nice afternoon's work, I'd say. Yeah, and now what, Tim? Well, we fuse up one of those sticks of dynamite and put it in with the others. Then run the wires to that magneto down the trail a ways so we're in a position to blow them all to the moon if they try to rush us. Yeah, after that, we figure on getting some help. They worked swiftly, silently, spurred on by guttural sounds from within the cave as some of the earlier victims began to come to. The fuse stick was tucked down in among the others. The wire was uncoiled to a safe distance down the trail, the firing magneto set in place. Slats was hunched over it, busy with the final connections, when the unexpected happened. Close by, there was a crackling of dry twigs. Tim whirled toward it and found himself looking down the ugly muzzle of a rifle in the hands of a Japanese officer. Above it, a brown face, lips drawn back from the teeth in a snarling smile. Get hands up, Yankee! The muscles under Tim's uniform tensed. The line of his jaw was a white cord, tautly drawn. His hands raised slowly. Hold on, Ip. They weren't counting on you joining the party. Where are all my men? Up there in the cave, nursing some bad headaches. Oh, very clever. You capture one by one, huh? That's a pretty good guess, Short Pockets. Yankee sergeant think you very smart. Maybe not feeling so smart when getting bullet in head. Maybe. That's something I never tried so far. Tough friend behind you, stand up too. Why, sure, Jeffy. Seeing as you got the drop on us, I guess no Slats. Stay right where you are. I just thought of something. The big Marine knew he was looking sudden death squarely in the eye, but his voice betrayed no fear as he went on. You can kill me, Nip. Sure you can. But while you're doing it, you kill yourself and every man up in that cave. You see those wires running along the ground? They're connected to a hunk of dynamite, all fused and set to go. When you shoot me, my pal pushes down on the plunger of that magneto, and whambo, the whole works goes up. At the same time, Slats rolls down the hill and gets away from you. And if you're lucky enough to get out of this without getting beaned by a flying rock, you still won't live to tell about it. If Slats doesn't get you, the guys that come up here at the sound of that explosion will.
Oh, smart Yankee, huh?
The intake of the Jap's breath was like the hissing of a snake. The rifle raised an inch. Get ready, Slats. But, Timmy, listen to me. It's all right, fella. I'm going to get mine. Just you be ready to work that plunger when he shoots. Between the tall sergeant's legs, the Jap could see Slats' white face. His body hunched over the magneto, the plunger raised. His eyes darted back to Tim's face, and he seemed to cringe a little under the cool, steady gaze. He turned from it, his body twisting, as he looked toward the opening of the cave up the hill. And in that split second, Tim was on him in a flying tackle that bore him to the ground, the rifle catapulting out of his hands, while Slats closed in to help with a final punch that laid him cold.
Oh, that was beautiful, Timmy, beautiful. What next?
We grab some of those Jap rifles and start shooting into the air, fella. That ought to bring half the army here full speed ahead. They were following the American patrol and its file of angry prisoners down the moon-splashed trail sometime later when Slats said,
Nice, quiet picnic we had, Sergeant.
Yeah. Good time was had by all, as they say in the papers.
And I think you're the smartest guy in the whole Marine Corps, Timmy.
So? What brings that on, little man?
Well, we'd both be dead if you hadn't gotten that Jap to hold his fire by bluffing him about blowing up all his men.
Bluffing him? I wasn't bluffing. I meant what I said.
A low chuckle from Slats.
You were still bluffing, Tim. So was I when he saw me kneeling over that magneto with the plunger raised.
Eh? What do you mean?
Well, it's like this. I'd never seen one of those Jap magnetos before. They do everything backwards and... Well...
Tim halted, his square jaw thrust close to Slats' face.
Go on. And what?
Well, all the time you were talking, I still was trying to figure out how to connect the wires to the fool thing so it'd work.
A moment of tense silence. Then they were both laughing as Slats continued.
We do get in and out of the most amazing predicaments, don't we, Timmy?
One reason Night Editor has been a long-time favorite is that Hal's stories always give you an unexpected lift, which is one reason Edwards Coffee is a big favorite, too. Edwards is specially blended according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula to give you an extra flavor lift. Edwards sincerely is superior coffee, rich, flavorful, full-bodied, custom-ground to your order to guarantee roaster freshness. Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. That's Edwards Coffee, featured at Safeway stores. Try a pound for an extra flavor lift. Now, Hal, have you a word for us about next week's story?
After a lifetime before the mast, old Jonas Gray had one wish, that he might spend his last days within sight and sound of the sea. And it was Cap'n Milo, lost at sea many years before, who granted him his wish, in a strange, weird adventure titled The Man Who Worked for a Ghost. I hope you'll all be with us in the newsroom next week for the telling of it. Good night.
Join us again next week at the same time when Hal Burdick returns to us in another of his famous Night Editor yarns. This is Bill Baldwin signing off for Edwards Coffee.